The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt still on vacation this Wednesday. The Colonel Kurt Schlichter is here for you to all enjoy and continue to talk about. You know, he's got this new book out. He may have mentioned it this week. The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. Make sure you get the book and make sure you listen to Kurt all day today.
Thank you, Hugh Hewitt. This is Kurt Schlichter. I am the author of The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You, which you need to go get. You need to buy. You need to purchase. You need to obtain. It will complete you. I got a lot of calls here about Major League Baseball and players kneeling and whether you are going to tune in. I hear opening day is this weekend. I don't really know because I'm not a sports guy, so this doesn't affect me. But you guys are angry. I had a whole bunch of people who just came up to me and said, Kurt, I am done with sports. And that seems to be the consensus. But I want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1234. Give me a call. 1-800-520-1234. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about something else that's going on. It's a campaign from our friends at Job Creators Network Foundation. They partnered with doctors across the country to give Americans the facts about living with the coronavirus. That includes presenting the facts about reopening our nation's schools and doing it safely. And the facts are not in dispute. As of July 14, the fatality rate for people under the age of 20 who contracted the virus was 0.1%, less than 100 times smaller than Americans over 60. Indeed, the American Academy of Pediatrics, which represents 67,000 pediatricians from across the country, released a statement strongly urging that any policy should start with a goal of having students physically present in school. Hallelujah. They encouraged public officials to consider the overall well-being of children and said the negative effects of mandated remote learning, such as social isolation, depression, physical abuse, food insecurity, lack of physical activity. We're raising a generation of fatties, folks, and ineffective learning. In short, the impact of not returning to school poses greater risk to our kids than returning to school. To learn more, go to flattenthefear.com. Data matters. And the fact is that huge portions of the populations can and should get back to living lives without fear. That goes double for our nation's kids. Go to flattenthefear.com now. We got a friend of the show named Brad Thor. He's got a new book called Near Dark. He's a number one Times best-selling author, and he's got a gripping new thriller, Near Dark. See, I got to say it seven times so you remember it, but you need to go get it. They say you can't put a price on freedom, but a bounty has just been placed on the head of America's top spy. Now he must unravel the enemy's deadly plot before darkness prevails. Near Dark by Brad Thor. Never push a man with nothing to lose. Well, the Major League Baseball's got something to lose. It's got your attention to lose. It's got your support to lose. And I think that's what's happening. Give me a call, 1-800-520-1234. Gene in Elk Grove, California. Are you going to be watching Major League Baseball?
No. It seems that sports is now the great anti-American pastime. And
ouch.
For our family, it's gone the way of the Academy Awards and the nightly news. And that is the main reason where fans of the Hugh Hewitt Show and the articulate hosts such as yourself.
Wow, I've been hailed as articulate.
Well,
thank you.
Listening to sports and the news and the Academy Awards, you feel bombarded. It's not a conversation. It's just a bombardment so you cannot discuss. And I'm thankful for the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Well, we're thankful for you, Gene, in Elk Grove. I really appreciate your call. Everybody else, I'm waiting for your call. 800-520-1234. Wayne in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. Are you watching Major League Baseball this year?
If I will, I'll be saluting the flag during the raising of the during the playing of the national anthem, because there is a section of the U.S. Code, Title 36, Section 301, that permits current and former members of the military, not in uniform, to salute the flag.
I am familiar with that provision of the United States Code. And occasionally, here's what I do. I watch for whoever a sergeant major or senior NCO is in the audience. I do what he does.
Well, I think we've got to start fighting back and start saluting the flag during the playing of the national anthem. I've been doing it for 4 years up at the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Arena for hockey games, and every place I go, I do the same thing. And well, I think current and former military have got to start doing that.
Well, thank you, Wayne. Paul in Ohio, are you going to be watching Major League Baseball this year with these guys kneeling and disrespecting our flag?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I love baseball. I love sports. I'm a veteran. All those kind of things. I will be watching baseball. I'll be watching all my favorite sports, including basketball, football, soccer, blah, 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 all the other sports. Hopefully some mixed martial arts is in there as well. I'm not offended by it. I'm actually applaud, you know, athletes and other famous people, not as much politicians, because I really don't trust them.
Well, we agree on that.
I do support kneeling at the flag if that's how you feel to protest, especially as a black person, as a veteran. You know, I don't believe it's disrespectful to the flag. I don't feel disrespected.
Let me ask you, and I understand you don't feel disrespected, and as any American citizen, but certainly as a veteran, you should determine what you think, and you should act appropriately. But do you understand how other people have a different view of it and are offended?
Well, I can understand the words, but what I also understand is I do believe in my heart that people do understand what the kneeling is about, especially from the beginning. If it wasn't in disrespect to the flag, I don't believe Colin Kaepernick or any of the other people were disrespecting the flag. I do believe in my heart, in my mind, that they really were protesting the inhumane treatment by law enforcement.
But Paul, what I want to get to is I feel differently. When I see them kneel during the national anthem, I feel they're disrespecting the flag and by extension me and the other folks I served with. Now, you obviously have a different view, but can you understand how I feel that, especially when there are other ways to protest? They don't have to kneel. They can do other things. But I take offense to it. Do you understand why I do, and what do you think of that?
I can understand that. My reply to that is that throughout the history of this country, black people have, and not just black people in general, white people too, have been protesting in a lot of different ways, and not a lot in our eyes and minds has changed. You know, there's different ways of protest. We live in a country where, hey, you have the right to protest peacefully.
And you do have the right, but you also have, and here's my point, you have a choice. Do you have to protest? Does it have to be this particular way that many of us, whether you agree with it or not, many of us find extremely offensive and insulting? Couldn't there be a more constructive way to make those points?
Possibly. And I do hear your words, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be offended. I'm not trying to tell anybody, including other listeners, what they should be offended
or vice versa.
Yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't help when, as soon as, you know, when Colin Kaepernick started kneeling and all that stuff happened, the extreme hatred and kind of response towards him, you know, maybe he would have stopped kneeling. Maybe he would have came to the table if people would have said, hey, we don't appreciate that. Can you do it? But that didn't happen. People didn't say, well, we don't like this. Can you do it a different way? No, he got a lot different kind of response than that.
Yeah, I'm not sure Colin Kaepernick personally was a great example for this, because he's got a lot of other distinctly anti-American stuff. He wears the cops as pigs socks and the Che Guevara shirt and says a lot of really nasty things about Americans. I think we need to take him out of there and look at guys like you who are saying, Look, I believe this is a important protest, and obviously you love America. You served in the military.
Of course.
Is there another way that folks could make their feelings known rather than one that's so deeply offensive to so many Americans? Because it is.
But I've seen that in my city and throughout the country. There's a lot of different ways we are protesting. I'll give you an example. About a few weeks ago, there was in the city of Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Columbus, a march where about 1,000 black men and black women and some white people as well got together and peacefully protested throughout the city. Now, I know there were some violent protests throughout that as well, but they were met with violence. It doesn't seem like much works when it comes to protesting for the humane treatment of black people by law enforcement officials. So people are going to do, you know, what they feel in their mind.
Thank you very much for your call, Paul. I appreciate you giving us a different view than I have and for setting it out so clearly and well. I want to hear what you all have to say. 1-800-520-1234. We'll be taking calls when we come back. This is Kurt Schlichter singing in for the great Hugh Hewitt. 1-800-520-1234.
President Trump has a huge announcement for his top supporters. We will be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer. He wants you to enter for your chance to join him at the convention. If you win, the team will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. All you have to do is text Hewitt to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. Again, that's H-E-W-I-T-T 2, 88022, 88022, to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be his special guest. Paid for by the Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
That bumper music can mean only one thing. It's guest host Kurt Schlichter sitting in for the great Hugh Hewitt, rocking and rolling with some Clash, because that's how I rock and roll. We're talking about Major League Baseball. We're talking about taking a knee. And I want to thank Paul, who called up last segment, to explain why he thinks it's an important and valid thing to do. And here on the Hugh Hewitt Show, one of the things that distinguishes it from other shows, and one of the reasons I enjoy it, I'm a longtime listener. I mean, I've been listening probably the whole 20 years and a couple weeks that the Hugh Hewitt radio program has been on the air, is Hugh exposes us to people who don't necessarily agree with us. And look, I'm a trial lawyer. You are only tested in your arguments when you face somebody who can set out the counter argument and force you to confront it and deal with it and listen to it and understand it. And that's one of the great things Hugh Hewitt does. He brings on people who do not agree with us all the time. And he forces us to defend what we have to say. Now, liberals, of course, don't have that problem because they have an entire society. They can be in a bubble they can dwell in, and they are never challenged. We conservatives are always challenged, including here on the Hugh Hewitt Show. So thank you, Paul, for setting out why you feel differently than us. I don't agree with you. I think you're wrong on the facts. But I appreciate you telling me why, and I think we did find some common ground. Let's see what Dave in Washington, D.C. has to say. Dave, are you going to be watching Major League Baseball this year?
No, sir, I am not. This is disrespectful what they're doing. This is not the right place to do that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dave. Mary in Tampa, are you going to be watching Major League Baseball?
No, I grew up in my dad was a retired colonel.
I know about those.
And my husband was in two tours of Vietnam, and I was in the Navy during Desert Storm.
Oh, another Desert Storm vet. Thank you, Mary. I love that. I probably saw you bobbing in the ocean out there.
Well, I'm a nurse. But what do you do at 5 o'clock if you grow up on an Air Force base?
Yep.
You turn towards the flag and salute for as they retire for the night. No, I'm not watching any of it. I'm with the lady that's not watching any of this stuff.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it. Thank you for your service in Desert Storm. I'm a Desert Storm vet, too. 30 years, if you can believe it. John, in Utah, are you going to be watching Major League Baseball?
Talking to me?
I am, John. If you're John in Utah, I'm talking to you. What do you say?
I don't ever watch it. I don't watch sports, period, because they're ignorant.
Okay, well, thank you, John. I guess they haven't lost you because you were already lost. I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't watch sports, but I do find it very annoying. Rick in Pittsburgh, are you going to be watching Major League Baseball?
Hey, good morning, Kurt. No, unfortunately, I won't, along with football, along with NASCAR. You know, for
they're taking everything away from you.
Yeah, especially fed up. With now, I mean, I basically lost interest in NASCAR anyway when Earnhardt Sr. Crashed. But the thing I wanted to say was that these people that are so passionate and adamant in their beliefs, they should have to sit through a military funeral.
Well, once you do that, Rick. You're never quite the same. I absolutely agree. It seems to me this is calculated specifically to find the thing that's going to offend us most. I don't think it unifies. I think it tears us apart. Ed in Detroit, what do you think about Major League Baseball and kneeling?
Well, I stand for the flag and kneel for the cross, and I pray that all these people will kneel for the cross and pray that the scourge of racism, the riots, and everything leaves this United States in the least racist country in the world.
Well, thank you, Ed. Ken in Louisville, we only have a few seconds. Are you going to be watching Major League Baseball?
No, I was a huge fan, and I'm done. I hope it was a big strike in the 90s, and I could sure do without him now.
Well, I appreciate it, Ken. Elizabeth in Detroit, we only have a few seconds. Are you going to be watching Major League Baseball? Quick yes or no?
Not only am I not watching it, my husband knows it's different.
Your husband's not watching it either. Wow. Hey, we're going to be right back with Congressman Mike Gallagher here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. This is guest host Kurt Schlichter. Stick around. Back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter, retired United States Army captain. Colonel, gosh, what am I saying? I'm with a former Marine Corps captain. He now has a lesser job. He is a representative of Wisconsin 8. Mike Gallagher, big friend of the show. Mike, good to talk to you.
Colonel Schlichter, great to talk to you, my friend.
Well, first of all, give us an update on Wisconsin 8. How's the campaign going there?
Well, it's the population has grown significantly by at least one human being when my wife gave birth to our first child 3 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
So exciting times, yes.
Congratulations, Mike Gallagher. I got to tell you, by the time they're a teenager, I'm not sure you can count on his or her vote. Just warning you.
And certainly by the time we send her off to college, she'll get fully indoctrinated. But we're going to do our best.
If we still have colleges. Well, how's your campaign doing? Are they targeting you? Are they trying to take you out of the picture, take you off the board?
I am not one of the top targets, but Wisconsin is obviously being targeted by the Democrats. They've raised a significant amount of money, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And we've had visits from Pence, Trump, two Pence visits recently. I think both sides at the presidential level understand how pivotal Wisconsin is, and the Democrats are obviously having a modified convention in Milwaukee. So, you know, I suspect we're going to see a lot of attention, and I think no Republican on the ballot can get complacent in a year as unpredictable as this one.
Do you think President Trump can take Wisconsin again?
I do. I think a lot's going to depend on how quickly our economy recovers and some other variables such as optimism surrounding a vaccine. But I do genuinely believe that there is a negative reaction to a lot of the lawlessness that we're seeing around the country. And even, you know, suburbanites who may at times object to the president's tone certainly don't like the idea that the radical left wants the country to look more like the autonomous zone in Seattle than, you know, some other parts of the country. And so I think if we can maintain our discipline, if we can, you know, talk about simple things like the idea that America is a force for good in the world and America's history, while not perfect, is something to be proud of, I think we can win in November.
How does somebody help you hold your seat in Wisconsin 8, Representative Mike Gallagher?
Well, you can go to MikeForWisconsin.com and a variety of ways to get involved. But we really are lucky. We have a great, you know, kind of army of volunteers in Northeast Wisconsin who worked their tails off in 2016. And obviously the president won the state for the first time. A Republican won it since 1984. And I think similarly, we got a lot of motivated people in Northeast Wisconsin that are going to turn out and help Republicans from the bottom of the ballot to the top. And so I know there's a lot of people that are discouraged about recent polling, but there's a lot of game left to be played. You know, there were times when the polling was discouraging in 2016. I remember when my face, my picture was on the front of the Washington Post after, at this point during the 2016 campaign, because there was this article saying that the Democrats were going to take the House and it was going to be a landslide. Well, it turns out that didn't happen. So, again, I think if we stay focused and if we work hard, we can win in November.
Do you think we can retake the House?
I don't know. I talked with some of my colleagues who are running the NRCC yesterday. They're pretty optimistic about candidate quality in a lot of these different districts. And obviously, we had some special elections in your state that were surprisingly good.
Oh, yes, we did. And Mike Garcia, the winner in California 25, the heir to the seat of Thruple Lady Katie Hill, will be our next guest.
Thruple Lady.
Defiler of hotel furniture.
She's now a hero on the left, remarkably.
That says a lot about them, doesn't it?
It does. But I think Garcia, it kind of illustrates the point. I mean, when you have good candidates with great backgrounds who work hard, I mean, you can turn districts that may not even look favorable from an overall, you know, atmospheric perspective. And so he's a great guy.
Despite being a naval officer. I mean, nobody's perfect.
It's bad enough that we're getting all these Navy SEALs in Congress. We have to talk endlessly about how they all shop in Laden and how being a Navy SEAL is the coolest thing ever.
Oh, God. If I get challenged to another push-up contest by a Navy SEAL.
Well, we all know that, you know, soldiers don't do push-ups. What is your physical fitness test in the Army? Is it just sort of a mild jog?
Yeah, it's a gentle, carefree amble over to the coffee bar.
That's better than the Air Force, which is just, you know, a quick nine holes of golf, and the score, that's how it's determined.
Quick story. I was once standing in line where we're getting contract food, and there were a couple of pilots ahead in their little pilot gear, and we got really good food there. And the pilot looks at what he's giving and goes, "Not steak again." Yeah, absolutely true story. Let's talk a little about foreign policy and stuff because you know that's where you've done some really great work. We just closed a Chinese consulate in Houston. Can you shed any light on what's going on?
Well, all I know is that on yesterday, the DOJ accused China of sponsoring hackers who had been targeting labs developing coronavirus vaccines.
Ooh.
And on that same day, it was reported that there were fires at the Houston consulate. And then my understanding is that the local fire department responded. They were not granted access to the consulate facility. So I can't confirm that these things are connected. But if you were asking me to extrapolate based on some data points, I would suggest that there is a link, that perhaps the Chinese understood we were about to take action when it came to their hacking activities, their intellectual property theft, and potentially offensive activities against coronavirus vaccine developments here domestically, and that the Houston consulate was sort of a regional hub for such activity, and that the fires were an attempt by the CCP apparatchiks to cover their tracks. Now, I'm aware that that sounds a bit conspiratorial, and admittedly, it's based on very few data
points. 2020. Conspiracies are a thing.
That's right. That's right. But you must admit it has more credence than some of the conspiracy theories that General Secretary Xi's wolf warriors have been spreading on Twitter about the origin of the virus.
Well, so, that's certainly true. They blame the United States Army, which, you know, I look, the Army could do a lot of things. I'm not sure it can infect pangolins in a meat market in Wuhan. Let me ask you about a serious subject. And some people think it's kind of boring. Shipbuilding. We had the Bonhomme Richard caught fire. It may be out of the picture completely. If it doesn't have to be replaced completely, it's going to have to undergo massive repairs. And apparently, the United States no longer has the shipbuilding ship repair capacity that we need. How are you guys in Congress addressing that kind of boring issue but vital issue?
You know, it's interesting. If you permit me a quick story, the last time I was in San Diego at our master ship repair yards there visiting, I was talking with the people there about a big dry dock they had built to do ship repairs there. And I kind of asked about the process. And it turns out that they had, because we don't have the capacity here domestically, they actually had to build the dry dock in China and then cut it into three pieces and then sail it back across the Pacific. And so just think about that.
You can't see my eyes rolling to the back of my head, but yeah. We have got to do something about that. Is there a plan?
No, I think what's frustrated a lot of us navalists in Congress is that we had the contours of a plan emerging for what the future fleet looks like. Obviously, we've made a commitment to a 355-ship Navy, a matter of U.S. law, but then there seems to be all these reassessments happening, and there's a lot of confusion right now about the integrated naval force structure assessment, which seems to be caught up in the joint staff right now. And I think, you know, I think if the Secretary of Defense or the new Secretary of the Navy comes to Congress and just kind of lays it out there with a map on a table and says, here's what the PLA Navy is trying to do. Here's what we need to do to counter them, to do deterrence by denial. And that this is what's guiding our investments. If we have sort of a strategy-driven budget, I think he'll find a very receptive audience on the Hill, in the way the Marine Corps Commandant has actually found a very receptive audience, even though he's talked about doing some pretty dramatic things in terms of changing the Marine Corps and disinvesting in legacy programs. But for whatever reason, we still haven't had that discussion. I think you're right that it's hard for me to see the Bonhomme Richard getting back into service. The replacement ship cost $3.5 billion. That's a lot of money. The good news, however, is that in Northeast Wisconsin, we're going to be building the future frigate. And it's that type of small surface combatant that I think will form the foundation of the future fleet and will allow us to get more ships out there and improve our deterrent posture over the long term.
Well, Representative Mike Gallagher, I've got a lot of concerns about our present Secretary of Defense. I think he spends way too much time explaining why he has questions about the president's policies and too little time providing some leadership. And you very politely kind of referred to that. I think, frankly, I think if the president is reelected, and I think he will be reelected, I think it's time to look at somebody else for that job. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a bigger issue here, and it gets to this sort of even split that we do budgetarily between the different services. And the fact is that makes no sense geopolitically right now.
Exactly.
If you look at our national security strategy, if you just look at the topography, the geography of Indo-PACOM, inevitably, I think you have to conclude, and I'd be curious on your take as an Army guy, that this is mostly an air-sea battle.
I think you're absolutely right, Representative Mike Gallagher. We are out of time, unfortunately. We could go on and on with our navalist musings. Please find his website. Help him out in Wisconsin 8. He's a big friend of the show and a great asset. I'm Kurt Schlichter, sitting in for the great Hugh Hewitt. We're going to be up with the unlikely underdog, Mike Garcia, naval guy. But he won a Congress seat in California, Blue California. We're talking to him next. Stick around. We are back with the Ramones bumper music that only guest host Kurt Schlichter can bring to the Hugh Hewitt radio program. He was probably sitting there going, who are these rapscallions? Who are these shaggy-haired rebels in leather jackets with loud guitars? It's the Ramones, baby. It's the Ramones. Who am I? What? You're saying, who's this guy? Who's this guy sitting in for Hugh Hewitt? Well, I am Kurt Schlichter. I am a NUD California trial lawyer. I am a retired United States Army colonel. I am senior columnist at townhall.com. You should check out my latest column. And I am the author of this, The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You, the greatest book ever written this month. So you'll want to get that. It's been hailed as one of the books of 2020. So you'll want to check it out. And now I've got a personal friend, Congressman, and I love saying the Congressman. It rolls off the tongue. Congressman Mike Garcia, the guy who overthrew Thruple Lady Katie Hill or won the election after she abandoned the chair. Mike, what's it like being a congressman?
Hey, Kurt, thanks for having me again. It's fantastic. You know, we weren't planning on being here in this office until January, so we're 7 months ahead of schedule, and you know, it's been a wild ride. Obviously, a lot of drama, but I'm glad I'm here. The district had no representation for about 8 months, so we desperately needed someone to be here representing the district and doing the right thing for the constituents. And D.C. is dysfunctional, no doubt about that, but I'm glad I'm here. I'm in the middle of the fray and contributing and hopefully trying to make things better here.
Well, Mike, I think you're one of the you're basically the template for a successful Republican candidate. You've got a beautiful family. You have extensive private sector business experience. You were a Navy pilot. I'm not going to hold being in the Navy against you. You just kind of decided I'm going to run for this seat. And then Katie Hill drops out. So you had a special election in a seat that that the Democrats had taken in California, and you took it back. How'd you do that?
Yeah, and, you know, above all things in that resume that you rattled off, I consider myself a patriot and, an American that just wants to see my country continue to survive. And in California especially, it's a scenario where I just want to be able to continue to live in California without being taxed into the ground, without being overregulated. When I saw Katie Hill running and ultimately win, it was just a bridge too far for me as an American, as a patriot, and decided to leave my job and run for office. And you know, we had a tremendous team, and we were aggressive, but we ran a classy campaign. We were, but yet still aggressive. And I think when you have the right folks step up at the right time and doing it for the right reasons and in support of the Constitution and support of the beautiful country, that's a fail-proof recipe.
Well, Mike Garcia, you not only won, you won big in a Hillary district. And if you had lost, I mean, because the registration's fairly even. If you had lost, that would have been a bellwether warning that Donald Trump was in trouble. But you won, and you won big, and, you know, there were tumbleweeds in the media.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Now, and being excused is an anomaly, and, this is different. This was a special election. The margin of victory was even bigger than what we anticipated. We knew getting into the fight that we could win this fight. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten in the fight, right? But the margin of victory was truly a barometer of what's going on in California. There is an awakening, and it's not just Republicans now, but the middle third and even some Democrats are just realizing that this party has gone too far left, and they need new representation from someone who actually knows how to run a business and understands what's at stake here for the country.
Are they targeting you for this November as you defend the seat that you snatched away from them?
Yeah, I am effectively the number one targeted seat now in the nation. They're already running the ads against me, so it's already, you know, campaign season for us right now. We're in the thick of things, so we're continuing to raise money. We're continuing to campaign. We've got tremendous volunteers in the district and support around the country. But it's game on all over again, Kurt. We're in the thick of it here, and we will protect this seat, I have no doubt, but we've got to work hard and not take anything for granted.
Congressman Mike Garcia, how do people help you keep that Republican seat? Because if we lose your seat, we're not taking the House back.
That's right. No, if we need this seat and then 16 other seats as well. And you can visit the website, Mike Garcia, com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The way we can, the best way to help us right now is through fundraising, making donations, signing up to volunteer, and that's all done through our website.
So, here's what I recommend to help Mike Garcia. Look, I'm in Ted Lieu's district, about 40 miles south of you. I need to adopt somebody else to help, and I think Mike Garcia is a great guy to help, because we're not dislodging Ted Lieu. But we can defend your seat and take others, like great guys like Sean Parnell and John Bognett, who are running in other places. But look, if you want to help a great guy, and I know him personally, I talked to him offline, both military guys, Mike Garcia at MikeGarcia.com. Thank you, Congressman Garcia. I really appreciate you being here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. I want you to stick around for the next hour. We got amazing stuff. Jim Garrity, Jason Miller, who is the Trump whisperer, and my former legal client, Ben Shapiro. A lot of stuff. Stick around.